So let us turn to Luke 9, verses 57 to 62. This is where Jesus was speaking to his followers. Now it happened as he journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are in my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God."
Well, while Connie and I are getting situated up here, we just started recognizing college graduates a little bit ago, and sometimes it's hard keeping up with them. There are two Emmas who have graduated. Emma Schneider also graduated college. Geneseo, not an easy one to graduate from. So there is a towel up here with the name Emma on it. We'll throw it in the air, and whoever gets it first. Are there any other college graduates that we miss? Because we often do this. This has happened before. If you're too humble to say so, that's fine. Well, it's good to see you all here this morning. First of all, a word of explanation. Connie and I are being very self-indulgent this morning. We're going to tell you about our own life, whether you want to hear it or not. We feel it's owed to us. We've lived with each other for 40 years as of today, and we've been in the ministry for 40 years. The very first year that we were married, we actually started our first pastorate just prior to our first anniversary. So we have a lot we want to tell you. The number 40 is very significant in Scripture. 40 days in the ark, 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus was tempted for 40 days.
Oh, so it begins.
Boy, I tell you what. I remember that girl. I haven't seen her in a long time, but I enjoyed her.
I think that was 42 years ago.
Actually, it was. That's right, it was. It was longer than 40 years ago. Anyway, we have learned a lot about marriage. We've learned a lot about life, a lot about church, and we are each going to speak four different times. We don't know what the other one's going to say, so that's going to be the most interesting part. After 40 years, I still don't know what she's going to say. You would think we know that.
He just knows I'm going to say a lot.
I do recall that. We met at Heston College. That is our graduation picture right there, 1978, class of 78. I don't say this as often as I'd like to. There is no better college experience than Heston. I will tell you that right up and out. It's a long ways away. It's in the middle of the country. So there's a whole bunch of different influences that all come together there. Students travel from all over the country. And I married a girl from Nebraska, of all places, which I never would have guessed in a million years. And that has just the leadership opportunities that I was given in my first 2 years of college are not like I would have had anywhere else. At the end of my freshman year, I was in charge of putting intramural sports together. And in my sophomore year, I was a student activities director, which means that during the mandatory chapels, I was given opportunities to make announcements. I will never forget the day that Tony Campolo, one of the best public speakers we've had from Eastern College in Pennsylvania, spoke in chapel at Heston College, and people loved him. And then he took a seat right behind on the stage, and I had to get up and give an announcement about student activities. And I was a little afraid of that after hearing what Tony had to say. Well, I had a few jokes and a few humorous parts in it. My shining moment, it's never been the same since. When I would do those things, Tony Campolo was laughing at the top of his voice behind me louder than anybody else. So,
even me.
Yeah, that's pretty strange. So we were married in 1979 and started our ministry in Grand Island, Nebraska. There's two Grand Islands in the world, Grand Island, Nebraska, and Grand Island, New York. Our oldest daughter, Nina, was born in Grand Island, Nebraska. She moved to Grand Island, New York, and something happened with her Social Security card. They somehow when she got it there, after she got married, they had her from Grand Island, New York, being born, and she had to go back and change that to Nebraska. So our first year of ministry did not start off very well. June the 2nd, 4 weeks before our first anniversary, we were in charge of Vacation Bible School. On the second night, we went out to eat with a family from the church, and we heard the tornado sirens blowing. So we went home, and all night, seven different tornadoes dropped down on that city, took the restaurant where we'd been eating, and just caused all kinds of damage around. The headline in the paper the next day was that 35 people were killed, and it was on the front Associated Press pages. Now, that was a mistake. Six people died in that storm, which is still a lot. But I was panicking because I couldn't get a hold of my father. We didn't have cell phones back then. We had landlines, and a lot of those were destroyed. I finally got through to him and said, just wanted to let you know we're okay. His words, I had forgotten that Grand Island was where you were. So, but the thing I remember from that first year of ministry is how much I thought I knew, being a recent college graduate, and I really knew very little. And I made so many mistakes. And those people were gracious with us. And I'm remembering that Bob Dylan song, I was so much older then, but I am younger than that now. And I appreciate the grace of the people there. And we had a good time there for 3 years.
Well, it so happens... So,
my what? Oh, I don't need that. Am I on? Okay. Anyway, it so happens, I'm sorry, but Jared, our son, who has been with us 35 of these 40 years, is here today. So now I think I need to change all of my notes because he's going to know if I'm telling the truth or not. Jared, just ignore some of these things. Anyway, the first thing that I want to show you here is this is a Schefflera plant. I told my niece the other day, this plant was given to us on our wedding day. This is 40 years old. Her eyes got so big. Well, it mirrors a lot of our marriage. After the first year after we were married, we went to Beaver Camp, and the plant was maybe about this big. This poor plant was so sickly looking and dead almost. I gave it to my aunt who had given it to us as a gift, and I said, can you water this or do whatever? Well, when we came back at the end of the summer, it had new shoots and it was thriving, and so it was fine. And we took it with us on all of these moves that we have had. It's been in many different pots. It grows up and touches the ceiling, and then I cut it back, and then it grows some more. And sometimes it has been withered, so there's almost nothing there. But then it starts up again. There have been times when big parts of it have accidentally been knocked off. Just all sorts of different things. So sometimes somebody else needed to take care of it when we couldn't. Sometimes it's been dry. There have been dry spells, but new growth comes. Several months ago, I took cuttings from this plant and just had them off to the side. And all of a sudden, it came to me this week when I was thinking, these three plants right here are from this pot, this plant that we've had for 40 years. So I'm going to give one to each of my children and see how long it takes for them to, I don't know what. We'll see where they are in 40 years. But another thing that I wanted to say about this is, you see, this one thick stem here is what the plant was 40 years ago. And if you take away this one, it looks pretty bare down here. So I planted this one in here to kind of cover up that, and now it's kind of growing in there. You know, sometimes you have to add things, change things, do things differently, and that's the story of the plant.
All right. The life is like a pizza. That's one of the first things we've done with all the different places we've lived. Where can you get a good pizza around here? And we have been able to find one everywhere we've gone. Some pizza slices are good. Some are not so great. They all can be very different. Life is different slices as you go through it. And we have had many different slices. And, of course, 40 slices has symbolic meaning for us today. We moved to Heston, Kansas, where I worked in the admissions department for 3 years at the college. And then I had the opportunity and the request to interview at the church where I grew up, where my father was actually the pastor, to become their pastor. It's Harris Hill Mennonite Church in Williamsville. Oddly enough, Connie was more interested in that move than I was. But we ended up going there. That particular experience changed the way I view ministry. Some would say for the good, someone would say maybe not for the good. What happened at that church? I describe it like this. I got tired of preaching to the choir. It was a small church. I was preaching to the same people every Sunday morning. And after a while, I thought, there really is more to living a Christian life than just this. And so I started branching out a little bit. I believe I've told you how I started going to a nightclub that played bluegrass music, and the trouble I had getting in there, the fear that I had going in, very similar to what someone visiting a church would have. But what came out of that is I became acquainted with several persons, and when they learned that I was a pastor, they started seeking me out. The reason they were seeking me was to do their weddings because of previous divorces in their life. The church would not sanction their weddings, and they wondered if I would do that. That put me in a moral quandary. And I'll tell you about one family in particular. She called on the phone. She was the girlfriend of a musician that I knew pretty well. And her voice was just shaking. I could just hear the fear in her voice. And I remember thinking how hard it was for her to call me. And here I'm sitting here wondering how hard it's going to be to have to decide if I'm going to do this wedding or not. Connie is very familiar with my struggles with this. We'd talk about it, and I'd say, okay, I'm going to do this one, but I'm not going to do another one like this. And then a few weeks later, a few months later, an even more difficult situation would present itself. Okay, I'll do this one, and this will be the last one. There never was a last one. And what happened over time was her relatives in Nebraska started calling me. She has a story about that, and wondered if I would do theirs, because the church there, the Mennonite church there, was refusing to recognize a second marriage.
My sister started calling him dial-a-preacher.
That's about what it was. There's so much to be said about that, but here's the preaching part of the message this morning. When I started going outside the lines a little bit and seeking people and working with them, all kinds of opportunities started coming our way. There are two conclusions one can draw from that. One is that when you step outside the lines and start dabbling in places you shouldn't be dabbling, of course more trouble's going to come your way. You need to stay the straight and narrow. And I had that thought in my head. But then there was also an article that I had read in the Gospel Herald, a cover article from a good friend of mine, how God has an unquenchable appetite to redeem. And he told the story of the banquet, which we acted out for the kids in Bible school on Wednesday night. Luke Hauser Faust played the part of the host very well. He said, go out into the street. Nobody's coming to the banquet. Find people who don't normally come, people who look like they need to eat, and bring them. I want this table filled. And this author's premise was that God is like that. God wants people at the banquet table. So the second conclusion is that when you step outside the lines and start working with people outside of your comfort zone, there are all kinds of people out there that God wants to reach, and he will use you to do that. And I feel that that's the conclusion that I've drawn, and that second ministry of ours was so key. The gal that I was telling you about, I did their wedding, had all these local musicians in Buffalo listening to me preach. And then the groom gets up and plays the Orange Blossom Special on the fiddle. That was a fun wedding. But he became very sick later, and it appeared he wasn't going to survive, and she called me. We were living up here, and she said, I'm glad we've got you. You're still our pastor. So that was a special time for us. And it's gone on. Those friendships have gone on. It was while we were in Williamsville, New York, that we heard that a tornado had struck Heston, Kansas, where we used to live, and had damaged the apartment where we lived in Heston to the point that it was uninhabitable. And on the front page of USA Today, they had an overhead shot, and you could see our damaged apartment in that overhead shot. So tornado number two following us around.
Okay. So as was read earlier, the passage in Luke about God calling you to follow him, but you want to go back and bury your father, or you want to go back and say something to someone, to your family. That struck with me because I had always imagined that I was going to get married and have kids and live in Nebraska within a maybe 50-mile radius of where the rest of my family was. And then we moved 3 hours away to Grand Island, and that was still doable, that was okay. And we were there for 3 years. Then we moved 6 hours away to Heston, Kansas, and that was still okay. But then I don't necessarily remember that I was as ready to go to Harris Hill as you think I was, but that's okay. So we went there, and it's almost like God knew that instead of having me go right that far away, I just needed to take little baby steps here and there until I would get to a certain place. And I don't think that this is particularly only talking about physical distance. There are just some things that we need to change or maybe give up as we follow the Lord. And that's just something that we need to do. We don't necessarily know what is ahead, and it's a good thing that we don't, because it's a good thing I don't, because I think I would be overwhelmed and it would be so debilitating. But now I just know that you just do what you do, what you need to do right now, and the rest will fall into place. Let me see now. So this is 40 years ago. I like this picture because we're smiling. We are so innocent and naive, are we not? We're going out thinking, okay, we're ready for this. And we were ready for it. We just maybe weren't ready for some of the other things that were going on. Now, this is when we were living at Heston. Keith was working at Heston College. He always had this thing whenever we'd be taking pictures. Okay, the last one has to be a goofy one. So everybody else, oh, hey, I get to do this pointing. Everybody else had goofy, goofy, goofy. I can't do that. So I just have to be normal and whatever normal is. But then, here we are. This is 2016, and I have learned to be goofy. Maggie, however, I think needs a few lessons on being goofy there. Jared is hiding behind me. But so I think this, I felt that this just showed a change in myself. I could be goofy. I learned over the years not to take myself so seriously. You know, it is what it is, and things are funny. As most of you know, I find a lot of things funny. But there are just things to learn along the way. And over 40 years, I have learned quite a lot. I'm still learning things because it has maybe recently come to my attention, and it's been quite a while, that I have let other things and other people come in the way of my relationship with Keith. And that's not a good thing. After 40 years, you would think that I would know not to do that, but apparently not. So I am apologizing to Keith and hoping that I can unlearn some of the things that I learned, and we'll see what happens. Your turn.
Well, what a legacy. After 40 years, I've made my wife goofy. I guess that's something to be pleased about. Well, we left the ministry at Harris Hill and moved to Washington, Iowa, because there was a job opening for a camp director. And we had had such good years at Beaver Camp. This camp was very different, but it was one that just worked out well for us. They did not have food service there. So one of the first things I did was to scour the country for the best cook I could find and realized I was married to her, and I put her in charge. Let me tell you how important food is at a camp. Now, Marcia's sitting here. She's probably going to shrink right now, but I can tell you the food at Beaver Camp's really good. We had a family reunion there. Half the family was Amish, half was English, as you'd say, which is rare. But the patriarch of that family, when some of the family members left the Amish, said, "You are still Yoders, and I don't care where you go. We are staying together." I don't know what the bishop thought of that, but it was unique to have this family on the grounds. One of the Amish men there befriended me, and we talked quite a bit over that time. At the end of the time, he said, "I just never imagined we'd have food as good as we've had here. It's the best I've ever had anywhere." I thought that was quite a testimony. And then the man in charge of the reunion gave the kitchen staff such a big tip that it increased their pay 50% from the meager amount that I was paying them to work there. The real story here is that years later, that man put in his estate a $500,000 gift to that camp to build the athletic center there. That's what a good cooked dinner will do for the future. We had good years there. We attended Washington Mennonite Church. There was a semi-professional actress in the church. I still remember when she recruited me to play a part for the Bible school production, and she insisted on rehearsals, and everything had to be right. And I remember thinking, this is for a bunch of kids. Let's just do it. Oh, no. You do it professionally, and you do it right. I learned a lot from that. She also was the director for dinner theater fundraisers that we used to do, and that's where Connie and I became even more goofy, and I got to play Garrison Keillor, and she did some other things, and that was found out that there are some great skits out there that humorously show the love of God to people. But camp work is very difficult, and we kind of burned out on it. I know two businessmen that had multi-million dollar businesses that went into camp directing and said camp directing was more difficult than anything they've ever done, despite the success in their businesses. But then they also said it's the most rewarding, and it was very rewarding. But then we moved to, for our third pastorate, back to the Western New York area where I became pastor of the Clarence Center Akron Mennonite Church. While we were living in Iowa, it was a very windy day, and all of a sudden it got really calm, and that just seemed strange. And then the radio went out, no more radio. And then I saw state troopers going by the camp road, going into town. I thought, what has happened in town? Tornado number 3 had followed us around, dropped right on the village of Washington. Our daughter was with her boyfriend. Our daughter said, "We need to get out of here." Her boyfriend said, "This is no big deal." That relationship ended after that thing. She came home in hysterics. She had seen the tornado. So we decided we'd move to New York, where tornadoes happen very rarely and don't wipe out a whole town like they do in the Midwest. And we had a good pastorate at Clarence Center Akron. It was tough at times. Marriages were under attack there, and that made it very hard. But the people treated us, again, just royally. We couldn't have asked for any better.
Okay, Willie also read the verse from Jeremiah 29:11 about God having plans for us. I've thought of this verse many times during our life together, and I've done so many things over the last 40 years that I never would have dreamed that I would have done. One is standing up here talking to people sitting out there. So this next one is, this is a summer of 1986 when after we left Heston, before we went to the church at Harris Hill, and we're spending the summer up at Beaver Camp. This was the first year that the Challenge Course was in operation, and Keith was the director of the Challenge Course. I joined a group one day and went with them through the day doing all of the different activities. And one of the things that we were supposed to do at one point was to imagine a difficult situation, something that was going to be hard that we did not look forward to, and just imagine ourselves in that, and then think of that every time we succeeded at one of the activities we were doing. So I did that. Now, we were moving to, this here was 22 hours away from my parents. I was going to be doing a new job. Keith was going to be at a new church. Nina was going to be starting kindergarten. There was a lot of changes going on. So I was imagining myself doing the things that needed to be done at that time. And so I remember climbing the tree and going down the zip line and thinking, if I can do this, I can do anything. And so that was a good thing for me to have in my mind when a few weeks later we moved to Harris Hill. Now, just because you can do anything doesn't mean it doesn't make you tired. Here we are of a Sunday afternoon. This must have been either Nina or Jared taking the picture, because we're both in the picture. Tired, anyway. And then here, this is shortly before we moved to Iowa to take the position at the camp. My father was the conference minister of Iowa-Nebraska Conference. So he visited the area in Iowa where we were going to be moving to at least once a month for business, was going back and forth all the time. So this was going to be wonderful because these three kids were going to be closer to their grandparents and we would see them a lot. Well, a couple of months before we moved, Dad died following heart surgery, so we never got to see that. We had planned to be there and, you know, spend more time with my family, but that didn't happen. So while there were things that we planned that didn't happen, there were a lot of things that we didn't plan for that happened anyway. And we had good experiences out of those things, probably better experiences than we would have had if things had gone the way we had planned.
Well, that brings us pretty much to the present. When I learned that the Beaver Camp opening was available, we left Western New York and moved here. The theme that I would say here, a very good friend of mine, Roy Walls, passed away very shortly after we moved here, and his last sermon in his church was "Expect the Unexpected." How's that for? So I'm hesitate to say that this morning because Connie and I are both of the same age where something could happen just like that, and we might be done. And we realize that, and it's kept us thinking more about how we're going to relate to each other. But he passed away very suddenly, and the unexpected is what I have found here in Lewis County. I came to be a camp director. I did not come to pastor Lowellville Mennonite Church. We weren't even going to Lowellville Mennonite Church. The only reason we started coming here is our youngest daughter had a friend from school, one of the few that she had, who attended here, and so we started coming here. And without telling that whole story, through a remarkable confluence of events, here we are, pastoring the congregation. I did not think my wife would ever be a part of this either. But Marcus Smucker is more wise than I am at realizing potential when he sees it. So we're here. So what's unexpected? Well, so many things have happened at Beaver Camp in the last 14 years. All kinds of construction and projects and new things at Maple Ridge. I did not expect that. I was pretty well known in Western New York. I had a radio show. I did concerts. I thought, oh, I'm giving all that up when I go to Hicksville, USA in Lewis County. Well, we weren't at Maple Ridge. We were barely there. And here I knew of this, a year earlier, Marvin had started a bluegrass festival. I thought, wow, maybe we can continue doing that. Had no idea that festival would become so large and that some of the more well-known musicians in the country would be coming to Lowellville, New York. I had no idea that I'd become a part of the fair board and be able to be backstage with Charlie Daniels, a guy that I listened to when I was in high school, and had that song that they had to bleep out on the air because back then you didn't do that kind of thing. Now you're all wondering what that song is, aren't you? Just the opportunities to do tractor pulls and all of that. And speaking of radio shows and all that, even I'm getting tired of my voice and seeing myself on TV. This is a true story. My wife overheard this at the fairgrounds one day. I was doing the afternoon tractor pull, and some guy, she overheard him say, "Is that Keith Zare on the microphone?" And the other person said, "Yeah, I'd recognize that voice anywhere." So, but this is the longest we've lived in one place. It was 7.5 years till we moved here. We're going on our 13th, 14th year now, and I never would have dreamed that we would have had the opportunities that we've had here in good old Lewis County. I never would have dreamed that the last two NASCAR Cup champions, Martin Truex Jr. and Joey Logano, would have raced at our little track just off of New Bremen, and that I would have been able to see them and talk to them. And I never would have dreamed that we would pastor a church like this, which is as diverse as any place that we've ever been. And it's not what I had envisioned as Lewis County being, but the diversity that we have found here has made it a little difficult to relate to each other, but it has also made that relation more rich because of that. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what opportunities God's going to bring in the future from here, as we all are stepping outside the lines a little bit with God's unquenchable appetite to redeem people.
So I have just a few more pictures here yet. This one is on our 25th anniversary. We've added the dog. We're at Akron here. And then this is 2011 at our house in Lowellville. This is, I guess, last year, where we have more people added. And these years, these 40 years, have not been without struggle. There's pain and disappointment as well as joy and contentment, but we have been blessed. We've lost 3 of our 4 parents, and we lost 1 child to a miscarriage, but we've gained more family members, and of course, we have gained our 3 smart, witty, awesome grandgirls. I've struggled with depression for varying degrees a lot of the time, but I'm able to function, and most of the times rather well, I think. We have not had a lot of really major issues that I see some folks going through. And I don't know why some people have to endure more pain and disappointment than seems like it is their fair share. I also don't know why certain people seem to have only joy and contentedness and happiness in their lives. Now, of course, we know that's not true, but there are some people who just don't seem to have to deal with the things that a lot of us need to do. But I do know that the Lord is walking with us the whole time, whether it feels that way or not. Sometimes it might not feel like it, but I have come to believe that He is still there, and that He cares for me and my family, and I will just continue to enjoy the blessings that He has given me. Thanks.
Thank you for indulging us and for helping us to feel like this would be a safe thing to do here this morning. 2 more things. 1986 was my favorite year of camp because of that challenge course. It's the year Linda and Marvin became an item. Great year. It's also the year that a young man with Down syndrome was trying to get up the zip line, and he was having some trouble. He got to the top, could not get up on the platform. I said, "Are you sure you want to come the rest of the way?" And so we just grabbed him and pulled him up, and then I thought, he's never going to go down. Sat on the edge of that platform. I said, "Okay, whenever you're ready, go." And Adam Zare, pshoom, down that zip line. So that was a high moment. All right. Thank you again for everything you've done for us. This has just been a blessed time in our lives. We'll never forget it. And we love each and every one of you most of the time. As I said, the diversity here is just something we've really come to appreciate, and we do look forward to Sundays. We are traveling to Buffalo tonight. Ironically, my sister and her husband are celebrating their anniversary tonight. They saw the magic of June 30 and decided they were going to do that. And we have a niece and a nephew that also got married on this day. So it's a great day for us. Please stand for the closing benediction. And this is the best thing I can think of to say for our college graduates, for our high school graduates, for our youth as they travel to Kansas City, for our Beaver Camp staff as they start their summer this afternoon, and for all of us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace.